All right, we are going to get into what we started last week. Acts chapter 16 and verse number 18. Acts 16 and verse number 18. The Bible says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Aren't you glad that the church is Christ's church? Amen? It's not my church. It's not your church. It's not our church. It's Christ's church. And because that is true, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If you and I tried to make something and organize an organization of some kind, the gates of hell would prevail against it, would it not? But this is Christ's church, amen? So we've been talking about the last week, and then we're going to finish it up this week, Lord willing, the purpose of the church. And we saw, just as a recap, we got about halfway through the notes last week, and I'll just kind of recap what we talked about last week. Should be filled out for you up until we start this morning. But God has instituted three institutions, or established three institutions, the home. And I'm glad God's made us home. Amen? I'm so glad for my home, my wife, my children. I'm glad from the home that I came from. Amen? I have wonderful parents and wonderful brothers that love the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm glad God established the home. He also established government, and then he established the church. Amen? And so this is what we're talking about this morning. In simplest terms, the purpose of the home is to provide, amen? The purpose of government is to protect, and the purpose of the church is to perfect us, all right? So God's really looking out for you and I, is he not? He's set all these things in place for you and I. Praise the Lord for that. So we saw some false considerations about what a church is not. I think it's important for us to understand what a church is not. Now, as we mentioned last week, some of these things are good things, amen? And a church ought to be doing them to a certain extent. But as we're going to see, this is not the purpose of the church. The church has an entire different purpose. So the church is not here on this earth to save the world. It's not. The Bible says Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost, amen? Now, there's a lot of people who never see themselves as lost. They can't be saved without being lost, amen? So we're not here to save the world, per se. We're not here to usher in a millennial kingdom. We're not here to make the world a better place, per se, because this world has got a definite end, does it not? You read the end of the book, and it's fervent heat, melts in fervent heat. It's all going away. But I'm glad we'll be taken out of here before then, amen? The second thing here, the church is not here to serve the world. We're here to serve Jesus Christ. We're not here to serve the world. And so the church is not to focus its labors on social goals, like feeding the hungry and fighting pollution and lobbying for civil rights. Now, some of those things are good to do in measure. Amen? And it shows Christ's love when we show Christ's love to others. I understand that, but that's not our main purpose. Letter C, we're not here to be subject to the world. Amen? We're not to cowtail down to their level. There's many churches in this country today that are compromising in order to build a crowd. We're not here to be subject to the world. We're not here to simulate the world. Again, there's many people that want to simulate, be just like the world, where the Bible says we're to be separate. Amen? And then lastly, with that being said, we're not here to separate from the world in a physical sense. In other words, we're not to become monks, right? We're not going to go out in the middle of the mountain somewhere. Yesterday, my brother told me that a fella in his church has his pilot license, and he's like the maintenance guy at Shoshone County? I think it is. Their airport there, where Andrew's at. And invited Andrew in his little personal plane to go up to Bonner's Ferry yesterday morning. And Andrew's like, man, I was in seventh heaven. No pun intended. But he's like flying over towards, he said we went due north out of out of Pinehurst and ended up in Bonner's Ferry. And he said he couldn't believe there's like miles and miles and miles of nothing, not even logging roads. Like there's nothing there. This is amazing. You know, that's not our goal, to go out in the middle of nowhere, build a commune, and be separate from the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world, okay? So then we looked at some Bible considerations here about what the church is. And we saw letter A is to love God. Amen? The church is, the purpose of the church is to love God. And we saw in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 and 4, the church at Ephesus had left their first love. And God was saying, you need to come back. You need to repent. You need to remember. And then you need to redo. Amen? In verse number 4 there. And so we need to come back to the first love, and that is for Jesus Christ. And then letter B, to glorify God. And I think to love God is first and foremost. And then secondly, to glorify God, bring glory to his name. That's the only reason we exist here. Amen? To bring glory to his name. And we saw several ways that this happens in and through our lives. Praise and prayer. Amen? We ought to be praying Christians. And I've been listening to a preacher here for the last week, and I've just been encouraged. This preacher has been preaching much on prayer, and the Lord's been convicting me. I don't have enough prayer in my life, and why don't we see results? Perhaps it's because there's not enough prayer, and I think we need to be bringing God glory through our prayers. Now, our prayers, as we see in Matthew chapter 6, are not to be done to be seen of men, but they're to be done in secret so that God gets the glory. Amen? Number two, bearing fruit. And the Bible says in John 15:8, and herein we do glorify the Father by bearing much fruit. Amen? And so your life ought to be bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You ought to be bringing people to the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, it's up to them if they trust him, but you ought to be bringing as many people as you can to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, giving. Amen? Giving. And we'll see a little bit more about that as we go on this morning, but a way to glorify God is just to give, and that is a testament to God's great gift. Amen? Where he gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross for us. Number four, preaching and ministry. I think preaching of the cross brings glory to Jesus Christ, does it not? It brings glory to God the Father in heaven. And so that's why we put an emphasis here on preaching and also ministering to others. Number five, love. It has mentioned here Romans 15, verses 5 and 6. We could also turn to places like John 13, verses 34 and 35, where the new commandment is given to us to love others as Christ has loved us. Amen? And so love is important. We bring glory to his name through loving. Number six there, confessing Jesus Christ. And of course, we are all going to confess Jesus Christ one day, are we not? But we ought to do that now. We ought to confess him. Number seven, having strong faith in Jesus Christ, a faith that's not wavering. The Bible says Abraham staggered not at the promise. Isn't that amazing? He had faith through it all. And yes, times got tough, times got hard, but he was strong in the faith, and we bring glory to the Father because of that. Number eight, suffering. And of course, this goes without saying, Jesus Christ suffered for us, did he not? Hebrews chapter 12 talks about him enduring the contradiction of sinners, and we've not endured that. And so every time that we go through suffering in our lives, I begin to remember what Jesus Christ suffered for me. And what I'm going through doesn't hold a candle to that. So I'll just endure. He endured, and he's inside of me. I can endure. And then lastly, number nine, witnessing for Jesus Christ. I think it goes without saying, he that winneth souls is wise. Amen. And you bring souls to Jesus Christ. Letter C, we're going to start here this morning. Letter C, a purpose of the church is to display God's grace. Amen? God's grace is on display. How many of you have been to a museum before? Yeah? I think of a museum. I remember one museum we went to that I really enjoyed just because it was interesting. Weird. But there's up in Connecticut where we lived for several years, there's a little town on the coast that is just, it's made up like an old town, you know, like an old coastal town. And there was, this was a whaling town. So the people lived there, they went out in ships and they whaled. And that's what the term they used. They killed whales and brought it back and used the flubber and all that stuff to do whatever, you know, it was oil. And they sold it. And it was kind of an interesting thing. And the oldest whaling ship ever still floating is right there in Connecticut. I forget the name of the town, but really interesting. But I remember going through the museums they had there and these casements of like whale teeth and just all kinds of stuff they had there. And it's on display for you to see now, correct? Of course, God's grace is on display in the church. You mark it down. People drive by the church and they're looking and they can see God's grace. Isn't that amazing? Now, they should be able to see God's grace. Somebody in the community finds out you're a part of Lighthouse Baptist Church and, oh, he's a part of a church. Oh, my. And they're looking for God's grace. As a body of Christ here, we are a window display of God's grace. Now, if you have a window display of God's grace that's just covered in dust and, you know, and you can't hardly see through the glass, and it's not laid out right, and it's all broken apart, and it's not going to be a very good display of grace, is it not? So you and I are a display of grace. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and look there for a few verses. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, I believe we'll start in verse number 6. Actually, let's look up at verse number 4. The Bible says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved." Aren't you glad for God's grace? Verse number 6, "And hath raised us up together." All right? So each one of us here this morning who's a part of Lighthouse Baptist Church and are saved, amen? Each one of us has been saved by God's grace. We came from different walks of life. We have different backgrounds. We have different families. We have different past lives and different sins that we've been a part of and been involved in our lives. But God has saved us all by the same grace. Isn't that amazing? So it's like you were over there, I was over here. You know, we're all lost in sin, and God brought us together. And in verse number 6 there, he raised us up together in one grace in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 6. It says, "And made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So as we sit here this morning, positionally we're right here, but positionally we're in heavenly places. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord for that. So look at verse number 7. Why did he do this? Why did he save you? Why did he save me? Why did he put us together in Lighthouse Baptist Church this evening? Verse 7, "That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." God just wants to display his grace. I mean, it's so precious. It's something that everyone in this world needs. And it's something every person in this world can have. And so he displays his grace to this world in a place like Lighthouse Baptist Church. And so we ought to be displaying his grace. Amen? A church who is always bickering and fighting, does that display God's grace? Absolutely not. It's being shrouded, is it not? A church that's always living for the world and involved in worldly things, do you think that's showing God's grace? Absolutely not. A church is placed on this earth to display God's grace. Let's go to letter D here this morning. Number 2 here, to evangelize the world. Evangelize the world. You and I are put on this earth and been saved by God's grace and been put into Lighthouse Baptist Church for the purpose of evangelizing the world. Let's turn back to Matthew 28. Matthew 28 and verse number 19. The Great Commission. This is the last command Jesus gave as he ascended into heaven while he was on this earth. In verse number 19, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So you and I are to be evangelizing the world. We're to go, therefore, not to be stagnant and just sitting. We're to go. And then the first two letters of the word gospel are go. Amen. And the Bible says much about it. Let's turn over. Keep your place right here in Matthew 28, because we'll be right back to it. But look over at Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And we see the Great Commission from another perspective. Mark 16 and verse number 15. So in the book of Matthew, we're to go into the world and teach all nations. From the book of Mark, it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. Amen? There's just a little bit of force behind this thing. A little bit of, there's a little bit of difference between teaching and preaching in my mind. You know, I look at teaching and I think of, you know, education. And I think of teaching facts and laying down all the truth and making sure everyone understands it. But when I think of preaching, I think of, yes, some teaching goes into it as well, but I think of some application made in our lives, amen? When I think of preaching, and I think of preachers that have changed my life and done good for my life, they've stepped on my toes, and my goodness, it hurts sometimes, amen? A little bit painful. And some things in my life, the Holy Spirit has just pricked my heart about and pointed out and said, this is wrong in your life. And so the Bible says we ought to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let's look in Luke 24. Luke 24 and verse number 46. The Bible says, Luke 24 and verse number 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Why? And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. And so Christ died on the cross, he suffered, and he was raised again the third day for the purpose that we should repent, we should have remission of sins, and that we should preach his name. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. Let's look again at John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse number 21. John 20 and verse number 21. The Bible says, then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Amen? And so God sent his only Son to this world, and he suffered, he died, and he rose again. God is sending you and I out into this world. Amen? And, you know, we're going to suffer. One day, it's appointed unto man to die, but praise the Lord, we'll be risen again. Amen? And so praise the Lord for that. Let's look at one more, Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. The Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. I tell you, when God says something once, it's important, is it not? When God says something twice, he really, really, really means it. When God says something five times, it ought to be our life, don't you think? And so here we see our purpose on this earth is to evangelize the world. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 28. And the next thing here kind of goes along with it is to baptize believers. Amen? We're to baptize believers. Matthew 28 and verse 19 again, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So there's a baptism that the church is commanded and set on this earth to do. Now, we understand, we studied baptism quite thoroughly. We see baptism doesn't save anybody. Baptism pictures what Jesus Christ did for us. Amen? Through baptism, we are obeying Jesus Christ and following him. Also, we're identifying with Jesus Christ. And as we look at baptism, as the way I look at baptism, it is the first step of obedience. Amen? I think there are a lot of Christians out there who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they haven't been biblically baptized. And they haven't taken that first step, you see. And if we take the first step, it's hard to go anywhere else, is it not? And so we need to be baptized. And the church is set on this earth to facilitate that, if you will, and bring people into it. Let's look at not letter F here, to instruct believers. To instruct believers. We are to be teaching. The church is here to be teaching believers, all right? Now, one job of the church, and I would say it's first and foremost, is to be evangelizing the world. Amen? But another purpose for the church that God has ordained is that believers be built up, you see. Believers be instructed. It is the pillar and ground of the truth. Again, we see here in this verse, go ye therefore and teach all nations. In verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe all things, all whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So salvation, baptism, that's not where it ends. We continue growing in Christ, do we not? We continue learning about Jesus Christ and becoming more and more like him. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 this morning. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8, a very familiar verse. Bible says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And now look at verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Where have they learned these things? Where have they received these things? Where have they heard these things of Paul? I submit to you, they learned them in the church. That's the whole thing here. There are a lot of Christians. I just met somebody yesterday. He came to the door and knocked on the door. He came to the door and he said, I gave him our track. And he said, first he acted like he was not interested at all. He was going to walk back inside. And I said to him, I said, do you go to church anywhere? And he stopped and he said, no. And he walked back and then he opened the door. And he said, yes, I do go to church. Looked at me like that. And I'm like, okay, where do you go to church? I said, he said, I go up in the mountain. I go to the lake. And he said, I don't need to go to your church to go to church anywhere. Okay. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Close the door and left, you know. But we look at this. I've met many, many Christians who I believe are saved, but they won't go to church. There's something missing in their life. And it's not, I know people hear it from a preacher, from a pastor, and they say, well, that pastor just wants money in the plate. Talked to someone else yesterday, you know, I invited them to church and they said, I'm Catholic and I give my money to the Catholic Church. I said, I'm not here for your money. I'm really not. I don't want your money. I want you to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I look at this and people say, well, pastor, he just wants more people in the church. No, I want people to grow in Christ. That's the whole purpose of this place. Isn't to make money, isn't to make anybody rich. We're, worldly speaking, we're to learn about Jesus Christ. Amen? And so there's instruction of believers. And there are many other passages we could turn to here. Timothy was placed in where God placed him. Why? To instruct the believers. Amen? To reprove them, to admonish them, to teach them. And you can see that all through the books of 1 and 2 Timothy. But the church is here for the purpose of instructing believers. Let's go on to letter G, to edify believers. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Edify means to build up. To build up. And so we ought to be building on a foundation. Amen? So there's the Bible says it's precept upon precept. Line upon line. And it takes time, does it not? It's not something you just, I got saved and I learned the whole thing. You know, no, it doesn't work that way. It takes time. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11. And he gave, so God gave to the church at Ephesus and to every church that ever existed in Jesus Christ. He said, I gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And so what has God given? He's given offices, if you will. He's given positions, and he's put men in those positions. And some of those men, you know, have been great at their jobs. Some of those men God has used in spite of their ability. Praise the Lord for that. Look at verse number 12. He says, why has God given these positions in the church? Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to build the body of Christ up, to increase it in strength, to increase it in faith. Verse number 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speak the truth in love, speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. Amen. And so the church is here to edify believers, to build us up, draw us closer together. And so we become a body of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord for that. And so there's edification here. Letter H, to provide fellowship. To provide fellowship. Now, this is a very important one. We need fellowship. Amen? We need fellowship. Christians need to be fellowshipping with other Christians. God has made the human psychological brain, the heart, and he's made people to need fellowship. That's how we're created. We need this. And so God has made a place that is a place of fellowship in the person of Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing. We don't have to dream this up. We don't have to, you know, make a website somewhere and call it Facebook and say this is a place that everybody can go to talk. We don't have to invent social media. God has made and instituted, established an institution called the local church, where Christians can go and they can get fellowship. Isn't that amazing? Good, clean, wholesome fellowship. Praise the Lord for that. All right, let's turn over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42. We'll look at several of these verses this morning. Acts chapter 2. And verse number 42. The Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. All right, so the Bible could have said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, period. But it doesn't stop there. Sometimes that's all we think about is the doctrine. But the Bible says we also need fellowship. The same amount as we need doctrine. Yes, it's important to know what the Bible says, know what you believe and why you believe it. That's very important. I'm not diminishing that one bit. But just as important as that is fellowship and breaking bread and in prayers. And so God says here, we need fellowship. There are all kinds of passages we could turn to here. Let's turn to 1 John. 1 John. Chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, and verse number 3, if you will, the Bible says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. All right, so it's been said before that a husband and wife need to get along. Amen? It's a long life with the wrong wife. You know what I'm talking about, brother? I'm teasing. One guy in college told me that. He says that he was getting married, and he said, I hope it's the right one. I said, well, I hope so too. And he says, it's a long life with the wrong wife. Praise the Lord, they're doing good. Amen? If you and your spouse are going to grow closer together, the best way to do that is to look up. Amen? And when you both fix your eyes upon the same point, Jesus Christ, and you grow closer to him, the closer you grow to one another. Amen? It's the same with Christians as well, brothers and sisters in Christ. When us as a church family are all looking at the same point, same place, and we're all heading the same direction, and each one of us are growing in the same direction towards Jesus Christ, you may be here, I may be here, but the closer we get to Christ, the closer we get to one another, you see. And so that's why it's saying here in verse number 3, who have we seen and heard and declare? We've seen Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what John is saying. And he says that ye may also have fellowship with us. If you get a hold of Jesus Christ and I get a hold of Jesus Christ, we'll have fellowship with one another. That's an amazing thing. We don't even try. It just happens, you see. When we get have fellowship with Jesus Christ. Look down at verse number 6 and 7. The Bible says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, for he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord for fellowship. Let's look at the number 1 here under fellowship. What's the basis of our fellowship? Jesus Christ. Amen. We just mentioned that in verse number 3 there. When we get our eyes on Jesus Christ, amazing thing happen. I mean, it's just the fighting stops. It's an amazing thing, you know? If we could all just start looking at Jesus Christ and start glorifying his name and putting him first in each one of our lives, I tell you, it's amazing what will happen in a home. It's amazing what will happen in a church. So the basis of our fellowship, what we fellowship around, is Jesus Christ. There's a lot of communities that fellowship are, you know, let me use the word communities loosely, but I remember when I was in college, I worked at Advanced Auto. You know, I think they call themselves CarQuest now, but they used to be Advanced Auto. And I worked there. It was my job. And so I went there, and I tell you, there's a lot of fellowship that goes on in an Advanced Auto store. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about. I mean, and there's all kinds of groups, you know. There's the rice burner group. You know what I'm talking about? They like the Japanese cars. That's what they would call them. That's the term, rice burners, you know. And their cars run on rice, I guess. But they got all the souped up. You got a little tiny exhaust pipe coming out, and then it's brought out to this big, and it's got a resonator in it to make it sound like it's powerful, and it's not powerful. And then you got the muscle car group, you know, they come in and got a big muscle car, it pulls in and everybody goes out to see their muscle car, you know, and they're big old time, you know, big, you know, 14 cylinder motor or something like that. I don't know, big, big thing. And then you got the trucker group, you know, and then you got the guys that come in a farmer's hat and John Deere hat, and they're looking for something Advanced Auto would never sell, you know, I'm talking about for their tractor. No, you got to go down to the John Deere dealer for that, you know. But what are they fellowshipping around? There's something they're all interested in, right? What are we supposed to be interested in first and foremost in our lives? It's Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. So notice also, number 2, the nature of Christians' fellowship, and that is sharing. All right? Sharing. Let's look at Acts chapter 2 and verse number 44. This is interesting. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 44. Something amazing happened in Acts chapter 2. Something the world has never seen before. A church was started. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? And became evident to those around them. And the Bible says that was added to the church a great number of souls. In verse number 41, it says, added unto them about 3,000 souls in the same day. That's a big church, is it not? That's a powerful prayer meeting, I tell you what. But you get down to verse number 44, and you see the effects of this. And it says, and all that believed were together. Wow. That's a big statement, isn't it? All that believed were together. That means they're like in one accord. That means like they're in agreement on something. That's something rarely seen around the world today, where people agree. Keep on reading. It says, and had all things common. Okay, so what I have is yours. What you have, you know, we're just, We're gonna help each other out here. Verse number 45, and it says, "And sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need." It just boggles my mind. This is something, this institution here is the first time it's ever been seen in the history of the world. And what's the first thing you see the Christians doing? Sharing. Isn't that something? That's an amazing thought. Instead of holding on to all these earthly possessions, they just, it's not important anymore. I have Jesus Christ. I have fellow believers in Jesus Christ. If you need something, I'll give it to you. Isn't that amazing? And so the nature of our fellowship here is to share. Now, it may at times be a monetary possession. It may be flat out money. But it may be encouragement. Amen? It may be encouragement. This morning I was studying and you know, sometimes pastors, they get just a little bit discouraged. And just be honest with you. And I'm sitting there and I'm studying and I'm praying, ask the Lord to help me. And across my phone comes a text from a pastor friend of mine, and he just said, "I'm praying for you." Isn't that amazing? I tell you, you wouldn't know what that meant to me. Praise the Lord, someone's praying for me. He shared that with me, amen? He shared some care and some concern. And so the Bible says in verse number 44, they had all things common. They sold their possessions and their goods. It wasn't important anymore. They parted them to all men as every man had need. Verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. That's something I long for in my home. Amen. Singleness of heart. That's something I long for here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. Singleness of heart. Praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That verse number 47, it says they were in favor with all people. Obviously, they're in favor with themselves. But there's a whole lot of people that weren't in the church. They're outside. They haven't trusted Jesus Christ. And they looked on this whole thing and they said, That's favorable. I'd like to be part of that. That's an amazing. I live out here in the dog eat dog world. In there in the church, displaying God's grace, are all these Christians who seem to have fellowship around one person, Jesus Christ, and they love each other. They don't care about the things that they own. They're just readily giving. I think I want a part of that. Isn't that amazing? I tell you, what could God do if we had a church and a people like that? Praise the Lord for it. Verse number 3 in our notes there, the destroyer of Christian fellowship is a 3-letter word, sin. Sin. And I think you could also put the word pride there. Amen? Because only by pride cometh contention. When fellowship is broken, there's sin somewhere that needs to be taken care of. Amen? And so when that is a barometer, I guess that's the right term, you know, a meter. This, you know, there's a gauge that says, you know, I'm right with God, I'm not right with God. There's a red way over here and green all the way. I like to think to me be pegged all the way on the green, you know, just like sitting there, just that'd be nice, wouldn't it? And sometimes in my life, I realize it's all the way over here in the red, just limply sitting over here in the red. And I realize that I'm not having fellowship I need with Christians, my family, my wife. I tell you, that's it all goes together here, you see. I see it's way over here in the red, and I start looking for sin in my life. That's the first thing I do. What am I doing wrong? There's got to be something. I'm doing something wrong. I'm not thinking right. My mindset is not right. I begin to pray, the Lord, show me what I'm doing wrong. And the Lord begins to show me where I'm wrong. And when I take care of that sin in the camp, just like Joshua had to in Joshua chapter 7, amen, God can begin blessing again. That needle starts to climb up, and then all of a sudden, it's pegged again, amen? I like to be pegged, amen? And so, destroyer of Christian fellowship is sin. Number four, and I am not going to finish this, is responsibility of the Christian fellowship. We're going to look at a few of these this morning. What is the responsibility of Christian fellowship? Now, letter A is love one another. Love one another. Amen? Let's turn to John chapter 13 this morning. John chapter 13. in verse number 34, I mentioned this verse a moment ago, but it says in verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you. So Jesus here, he's been on this earth for 30 years, or give or take, right? And of course, he's speaking to his disciples who have, you know, they come from a long line of generations of God's people. They already have the whole Old Testament, and they've read it, right? And Jesus all of a sudden is going to spring a brandy spanking new commandment on them. My ears would pop up, don't you think? What, new? I thought there was nothing new under the sun. What's this new commandment here in verse number 34? He says that you love one another. Oh, is that all? Okay, we know that commandment. Jesus said, hold on a second. That you love one another as I have loved you. The Old Testament talks about loving others as you would have them love you. Amen? This is totally different. If you're going to be a Christian, you need to love people like Christ loves you. That's another level. That's a level that I don't think I'll ever be able to attain, but I can try my dead level best. Amen? So love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Verse 35, and by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. If there's people on the outside who don't know Jesus Christ, they've not experienced the love of Jesus Christ, but they can look into that display of grace, and they can see two Christians who just love each other like they never have seen anybody love each other. That's just, I don't understand that. I don't get it. What do you have that I don't have, is what the world says. And it's by this love that we're talking about, by Christ's love displayed between each other, that the world knows they are Christ's disciples. That's an amazing thing. Amen? So that's the purpose of the church. The responsibility of Christian fellowship is to love one another. Letter B, to bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. This may be the only one we get to this morning. Let's turn on to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number, we'll look at verse number 1 and 2. Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. Now that's an interesting statement. The Bible says that men are overtaken in a fault. And so obviously he's talking to brethren, Christian people. And from this verse, I imply something, that I need to be watching for brethren who are being overtaken in a fault. All right? Sometimes we get so narrow focused right to us, and we look around our little tiny bubble, and we could care less what's going on around everybody else, right? But here it's saying that I need to be mindful of others. Amen? What is that? That person looks a little sad this morning. I wonder what's bothering that person. This person over here, you know, they snapped a little bit. Maybe something's not right in their life. Maybe they're being overtaken in a fault. You know, like Foghorn Leghorn, the old cartoon. What's that boy up to? Better go check on him. Yeah, you know. Maybe we ought to go check on somebody. Amen? We ought to, you know, maybe not stick our nose so much in their business, but just find out. Are you okay? You all right this morning? Everything going well? Brethren, if a man be taken over in a fault, ye which are spiritual. What does it mean to be spiritual? That means, from this verse, I can say that he's talking to brethren, all of us brethren. He says, there's certain ones of you that are spiritual. That means some of us aren't spiritual. Think about it. So this is a condition we can be a part of or not be a part of. He's talking, there's one overtaken in a fault. He says, someone over here who's spiritual, anybody spiritual here? Are you being led of the Spirit? Are you in your Bible? Are you right with God? Are you confessed up on your sin? Are you spiritual this morning? He says, you go restore such an one with the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Don't get so far into it or you fall right into their own trap, you see. And to Satan's trap they've already fallen into. You be careful. He says, but you're there to restore one another. And then verse 2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens. You see, I just got rid of a burden in my life. I feel great, you know. I remember one time we went on this big hike for these teenagers I taught in a Christian school, and we went on the Appalachian Trail. We did like a 12 or 14 mile hike, and the first day was just, it was straight up. It's like, who decided to do this? You know what I mean? And we're going straight up, and the one guy who was with us, he was the medical guy. He worked on EMS, and he went with us. He had this big old pack on his back, and he got a stomach ache. He was throwing up, and my bag, I weighed it before we left. It weighed 30 pounds. That's all it weighed. No, I wouldn't care any more than that. You know, I'll sleep. I'll use leaves for blankets if I have to. I'm not taking anything more than I absolutely have to. And so I'm walking, and I got this light little pack on my back, and he's over here struggling. He's like half my size. His bag is three times my size, and I'm looking at him. He's throwing up over there. I said, Jody, I said, let me have your bag. You carry mine. We'll swap bags. Oh, it was a bad mistake. He had, I think, 4 gallons of saline fluid in this bag. The whole bag itself weighed 80 pounds. I'm like, what did you bring? I'm like squeezing saline fluid out. You know, why do we have this? And I carried his bag for 12 miles, you know. And I got back and I threw that bag down. I said, oh, you can have that bag. And what a relief. Burden lifted. I tell you what. So you ever been there before? Your burden's been lifted. God gave you a victory in your life. And then you turn around and there's someone else with a burden. And God says, bear that burden. You wait a minute. I just got rid of my burden. You mean I got to take that burden? That's what God says, isn't it? We're to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? To love one another. Amen? To love one another. I'm going to stop there because of time. We'll pick it up at letter C next week and hopefully finish. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving your only son. And Lord, as we look at this idea of love and how we ought to treat others, we have a perfect example.